morning. Welcome in. It's WEEI Football Sunday right here on a, well, chilly morning in the Commonwealth. Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini, Chris Scheim here with you until 9:30. We're taking you all the way up until kickoff from Wembley Stadium in England. It's the Patriots and the Jaguars, as they call them there across the pond, a pair of 1-5 teams. Game that I feel like the British should not be subjected to. However, since they will be, and since Drake May is out there making his second start, that's where we will begin here, as we have lots to get to over the course of the show. We will be talking with Fitzy. We will be talking with Andy Hart as well. We got Wiggy's keys to the game. No Tommy Curran today. It's a short show, so we understand that, but we'll also open the phone lines at 617-779-7937 for any of you early birds out there, and I do mean early birds, truck drivers, doctors just getting off of work, people who were at a rave all night,
people who headed to church,
people who were at Oyster Fest with me and Hillman yesterday. nurses, all those type of people.
Nurses if you'd like who were raging at Oyster Fest.
That too. Yep. If you'd like to chime in on what you expect to see today, we will keep the phone lines open for you. That was the voice of Megan Ottolini along with Chris Scheim. How you doing, guys? Good morning.
Okay, wait. Is Jaguars, is that a British pronunciation of? I always thought that they would say like Jaguar.
Yeah, like how they... Jaguar, like the car, right?
Because I used to get
Jaguar.
Jaguar was how I used to pronounce it. And I think that was, again, one of those weird regional things. And people would lose their freaking minds back when I worked at the Herald.
Really?
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, yeah, the Jaguars. And they're like, Jaguars?
I thought that was a British thing.
No, Jaguar.
Jaguar. Jaguar.
They pronounce the U. Yeah.
Like, because, okay, you know, they
it's like,
where did Jaguar come from?
I don't know. That's how
a Maryland
thing?
That can't be a Maryland thing.
I think it's just a mispronunciation.
Maybe that's a southern United States thing?
Jaguars.
I don't know.
Could be. Certainly could be.
But
anyways.
But because the British have the Jaguar car.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have it too.
Yeah, but it's
a very
British
popular
car
over there, thanks
isn't
to James
it?
Bond.
That's true.
Isn't it a British make?
I have no idea.
Okay. Anyway.
Might be.
Football.
Football. How about football? Let's do some football.
No, let's keep doing on English-made cars.
How to pronounce various cars from across
let's
the pond.
Let's go to Aston Martin
Yes,
next.
Let's do that next. The Jaguars are a team who may...
I like that lady's voice.
I know. Yeah, who is that
good
back there,
Jaguar?
Jacob? Jacob suddenly has the all the pronunciations on lockdown.
Is that
there,
like an AI program, or no, is that one of the women reporters?
Yeah, there was a Bond girl in the media availability.
She was so good.
It is how to pronounce Jaguar in English, authentic British accent.
Jaguar.
Nice.
Okay.
Jaguar.
Very good.
Jaguar.
Well, the Jaguars are a team that is in a bad situation, much like the Patriots. A team that 2 years ago I thought was going to be one of the top teams in the AFC. This is a team 2 years ago that I think went 9-8 or something like that. They went to the playoffs. They won a playoff game, and then they lost to Mahomes and the Chiefs by one score. It was a pretty good run for them, and it seemed like they were building something. The next year, they fall apart. This year, they've fallen apart even worse, and now Doug Peterson, head coach, on the hot seat. Trevor Lawrence looks like a waste of all that money, and here come the Patriots. Drake May, in his second ever start, looking for a win against the maybe worst defense in the NFL, and I think that's a good place to start right here, because Drake May had his debut against a very strong defense, same division in the AFC South in the Houston Texans, a very strong pass rush. Not the greatest secondary in the world, but pretty good. You're going up now against the worst secondary in the league, I would say. Statistically, I think that that matches up. They give up a ton of passing yards. They give up a ton of points. And could this be an opportunity for Drake May to go out there, even on foreign soil, and show everybody why he was the third pick overall, Mega?
Yes, definitely. And I agree. I think this is statistically the worst passing defense in the league at this point in the season. But who I'm actually looking at, Drake May is in his second start, and I put out a poll. We'll get to Polar Coaster, I think, in the next segment. I actually am being very critical in this game, and I think a lot of people will, of Alex Van Pelt, because this is the second week that you actually get to game plan with Drake May. Mm-hmm. And the way that they started last game was clearly so just the opposite of aggressive, so conservative. And I thought a misread of what that quarterback has even publicly said, what he needs to feel confident and what most young quarterbacks need to feel confident, which is just a couple easy completions. And so I think we've been tough on Alex Van Pelt, but at this point I think it's warranted. And I think going up against the worst passing defense in the league with the second start with your young quarterback after the way that you started and game planned last game, this is a real test for him. This is him in a standalone game, and I think it's going to be starting to become more clear about whether he's the guy who's really up to the task, not just of game planning this offense, but of preparing and developing Drake May week to week.
Unfortunately, with the rain that's probably forecasted for the beginning of this game, I don't expect him to come out and be any more aggressive here at the beginning of the game than he was last week. It's probably going to be run, pass on the first drive of the game. And unless Ramondre Stevenson makes something out of those first two runs, it's once again going to be a three and out, and you're going to punt on the very first drive of the game because they're going to see rain. They're going to be conservative. They don't want to turn the ball over, blah, blah, blah. Instead of just putting Drake in shotgun, spreading it out, easy completions, which is what they do. You get your young quarterback in a rhythm early and allow him to have success over the entire course of the game, and you set yourself up for success. But it doesn't feel like that is in Alex Van Pelt's DNA.
Stupid question. Wembley doesn't have a roof?
I don't. Are they at Wembley?
I don't
or
think
Tottenham?
It does. I think they're at Wembley, and I don't think it has a roof.
Okay.
Just, but I can double check.
I'm looking at pictures right now. No, it looks like they have, like, you're right, it's an open.
They have a partially retractable roof.
Okay.
But not all the
so
way.
Depending so depending on what side of the field they start.
Okay. The roof does not cover the pitch if it's a match day.
Okay. Do they have a different word for roof in England?
I don't know. That's a good question.
There's
say
a U in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Roof. The roof. The other thing about this is that they're playing on foreign soil, as we mentioned, but they're also playing on foreign grass. And there was a bit of a gate this week. Bit of an MRI gate this week with Ben Volen and the Patriots and that whole silliness. Thing.
It's just another Volen gate.
It is, but it really I'll tell is. You what, no one denied it, and that's why I consider that a win for Volen, honestly, this week. The fact that no one came out and said, actually, no, there was no MRI. Because that's an easy denial if there wasn't one, right?
Right.
But didn't... So I guess, like, Rapshi, Pelissero, and Garofolo didn't deny the MRI, but said there was absolutely no issue with Drake May. After he said...
Here's the thing.
Well, Volen didn't say his knee was banged up. He said that he got an MRI, and if he did, then that could be because there was nothing wrong with him.
My personal opinion on it is that if you get that information and you're going to tweet it as a reporter, I think you should write it and put your byline on it. If you if that information is good enough for you to tweet out and know that it's going to get picked up.
Yeah, but we know that he has.
I'm saying that's my opinion on it. Like that's how I think that I would operate. But also, is it so unusual that if the quarterback's knee is sore and it's your franchise quarterback that you wouldn't take him to get imaging?
No, I mean,
I guess
not. Better
safe than sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, I think any guy that's banged up normally just gets imaging in general. So, like, I think it's just kind of common practice. There was no structural damage. There's no, it might have been a little swollen because he took a hit, and then he's fine, and now he's off the injury report. So clearly it was nothing.
It was clearly nothing, but I'll say this. The way everybody acted about it was pretty squirrely. You know, like, they asked Gerard Mayo about it, and he's like, well, we're not going to talk about injuries. He just talked about Vidarian Lowe and the MRI that he got minutes earlier. So it's like, well, yeah, you will talk about him, but you don't want to talk about this one. Why don't you want to talk about it? Then they asked Drake May, and he was the same thing. I can't really talk about injuries. And it's like, guys, we're not asking about the injuries. We're asking about, did you get an MRI or not? And if you didn't, that would be an easy thing to say. No, I don't know where that came from. I didn't get an MRI. So I think he did get an MRI. I think it showed nothing. I think the injury probably happened at some point during the week in practice, if I had to guess, because there was that one hit he took against Daniil Hunter. You remember it was an upper body type of thing. I remember
it
him limping.
More like ribs or something.
Right. And there was one play where I remember he limped off the field, but he came back onto the field and he was running for first downs and, you know, looked like he was moving okay. Everyone said he was moving okay, so I'm guessing that it happened later on in the week. They took a look at it, saw that it was nothing, and they just got on with their lives. It got out that there was an MRI, probably because they have that Shields facility right there, but that's basically it. And it may end up being a non-story, but the fact that they were all, hey, what do you mean, MRI, like that, I thought that was a little suspicious. But if he looks fine and he's out there and he's slinging it and he's moving around, then no one's going to remember this. But if there's anything, you know, if there's any kind of limp, any kind of hesitancy, you know how sometimes when guys just aren't moving as well because they got something going on in their knee and then they overcompensate on the other side, like that stuff happens a lot. And you'd hate to see that in the second game of his career, especially in the spotlight, you know, in a standalone game against the defense that he should be able to move the ball against. And that's really what this comes down to. I think when Drake May goes out there today and takes a look at that Jacksonville defense, he's going to be seeing something very different than what he saw even in practice against his own team. And I know the Patriots defense hasn't been great. They're the 86 Bears compared to these Jaguars. And that's all it is. I think that this is a great opportunity for May to go out there and show, hey, you know, the rookie quarterback walked in here and beat these guys last week, and now another one's about
so
to.
I, I agree with you that this is a perfect opportunity for him, but then I'm curious your thoughts, because like when you look at the betting market in particular right now, there's like 65% of the bets are on the Patriots, and yet the line just keeps going up.
Right.
And the Jaguars are now 6.5-point favorites, where it was 5.5 just a couple days ago. And Drake May's passing yards number continues to come down, where it peaked at like 206. It's now down under 200. So is this a, like, other, are we in our own little bubble and we're seeing this through rose-colored
glasses? Probably, yes. Probably we are, yes.
Because I look at this, and you're right, all signs indicate, oh, this is a week for Drake May to just pop off. Like, 3 touchdowns and a pick, 260 yards passing, just, like, light it up. And it feels like the right spot, and yet every other thing outside of New England is telling me that that's not right.
Well, it's so surprising to me that the line keeps moving the way it is, because I feel like the line should even just be affected by what Doug Peterson said publicly after that game last week.
Those players don't want to play for him.
He lost his mind. He went on this like rambling thing about culture and how they're on the edge of a slippery slope. Like and then they spent a whole week together in London.
Yeah.
Like, how can anyone look at that Jaguars team and think that there's anything functional? This is the only opportunity, other than maybe seeing Miami again, that the Patriots can prove themselves to look like the more competent and together franchise. And I think it's like a stress test for the entire Patriots, not so much even the team, the personnel, the roster on the field, but the coaching staff. Like, prove that you're a professional organization again, because what's on the other side is something that's totally imploding. And as Arcan said 2 years ago, look like, hey, this is a team that's supposed to be ascending. Like, they're just a complete disaster.
The Jaguars are 31st in yards allowed with 390 yards per game. In a season already, and I know it's only week 7, but in a season already where offense is way down. Like, those are
insane clip,
right? Like, those are Brady Manning numbers. Like, these are 390 yards. They're giving up 30 points a game, which is also 31st in the league. And this offseason was all about extending Lawrence, extending Josh Allen. They signed a bunch of guys like Eric Armstead and Darby and
Gabe Davis.
Duvernay and, yeah, Darnell Savage and the Gabe Davis and those guys. Actually, this is a little fun fact for you. The Jaguars signed Joey Sly. They signed him in the offseason, and then they drafted a kicker and cut Sly, and the Patriots picked him up.
Nice.
So he was originally going to be
good
a Jacksonville Jaguar. They also traded back in the draft to get Brian Thomas, who I really like.
Love Brian Thomas.
They took Mason Smith, another kid out of LSU, defensive tackle, and a corner. They also brought in a new defensive coordinator. They fired their old guy, Mike Caldwell, and replaced him with the Falcons guy, Ryan Nielsen. And that is so far proven
like
to be
a
big mistake. I mean, listen, I never thought this defense was great, but they're bottom of the barrel right now, and that's something that I feel like even someone like Alex Van Pelt, as simple and basic as his offenses may tend to look, should be able to exploit a little bit. And if you can't, then you got real problems. You know, like, we all know that the Patriots aren't a good team this year. We know that the goal of this season isn't to win a ton of games, but this is, again, and we said this before the Miami game too, this is another example of a winnable game on the schedule. And this one, I think, maybe more winnable than that one. I mean, the Miami team, at least there's talent around them.
And Tua's coming back.
Tua's going to be back. You know, like, this seems like, as Mego said, a team that's kind of spiraling right now.
Yeah, and you look at it, too. You mentioned, like, Josh Hines-Allen had 17.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
He has 2.5 through 6 games this year. Just, there's no pass rush there. There is nothing going on with that Jaguars defense at all. So every sign in the world points to a big Patriots day. And yet, somehow, some way, that betting line just keeps moving away from
Vegas,
the New England Patriots.
Vegas hates it. Vegas hates them.
Is it the rain? Is it them? Is it the Jaguars being there for a week in London?
Maybe it's the travel going east, the rookie quarterback.
Rookie quarterback in his second game, I think, has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, but his first game came out, he faced one of the top 5 defenses in football.
Oh, I agree. I'm not agreeing with Vegas. I'm just trying to think of the reasons why they would have it so strongly in Jacksonville's favor.
Yeah, there has to be some group of people out there who are heavily invested in Jacksonville. And that's the only way it makes any sense. You don't do that unless there is a significant amount of money coming from somewhere.
But you said all the sharp money's on the Patriots, right?
So I said all of the 65% of the bets. I haven't seen the money number.
I see, just okay. So we don't know what the handle is. I can look that up. We'll figure that out. And yeah, I mean, listen, they're not always right, but a lot of times they know something's going on. So there you go. Opening takes there for you here on WEEI. Football Sunday. They know all about MRI Gate. That could be. We talked a lot now about Drake May. The emotional roller coaster is coming up next. Mego put out out a poll last night about Drake May and your expectations for him today. We'll get to that right after Chris Scheim tells you what's trending. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Christian Arcan, Mego, Scheim time, all in the house here, taking you up until kickoff at 9:30. And you hear the music, you know what that means. It means it's time for the emotional roller coaster. Real quick, before we get to that, we do have a little bit of breaking news. According to Rap Sheet, Jaguars coach Doug Peterson says that, who did he tell this to? Steve Wick, national reporter for NFL Network, that Travis Etienne Jr., their star running back, has a hamstring injury, will not play today against the Patriots.
Big
good
Tank
news
Bigsby
there.
Day.
Yeah, Tank Bigsby, who's been one of their best players.
I was going to say.
this year, but that's mostly because Etienne's been banged up. He's not going to play in this one. And, another probably day that features Bigsby out there in the run game. A run game that I feel like Jacksonville's going to try and lean on. That's been a weakness for the Patriots this year. They've not been good at stopping the run. I'd imagine you'll see a lot of Bigsby out there, and you would have seen a lot of Etienne, but now you won't see any of them because he's not playing. All right, Mega, what's the emotional roller coaster of the day?
Sure. So I put this out early last evening. What's your expectation for Drake May's performance tomorrow, being today, being Sunday in London? Your options were a step forward from last week, which got 67% of the vote. Step back from last week, only got 8%. And a bunch of people just trying to cop out, just happy he's playing, got 25% of respondents. But
will you let him cop out, Mego? It's your poll.
I know, because the week before, I put the option out there because the week before everyone was like, just don't get injured. Just right. Survive the game. So I thought I'd throw a little something out there just to show how pathetically low the stakes are for some people looking at Drake May. I think, as we talked about with the passing defense that he's going to be facing in Jacksonville, it should be a step forward, at least statistically, at least on paper, at least from the point of the offense actually being competitive. Because as I'm sure everybody talked about very much this week, Drake May had a good day for himself as a rookie making his NFL debut, but it's not like the offense was competitive. Even when it was 14-7 at halftime last week, it, at least in my opinion, never felt like a competitive game where the Patriots were actually within a threatening position for Houston, and I think that that has to be different.
So I felt like they were coming out of the first half, right? You get that touchdown and you're coming out, you're down a little bit, yeah, but
halftime was the most exciting part of that game. Well, I'm sitting there at halftime like, wow, they really got a chance here. This
yeah,
is really
the
something.
One
they just scored a touchdown.
And the 1 minute after halftime.
Right, well, and yeah. I'm sitting there at halftime like, and Nate Burleson's talking about something. I'm going, this
momentum.
Is really a good game here.
Their
and then
first drive coming out of the half, I thought that they had no momentum, and then they picked it back up again, but at that point, the game's out of reach.
Well, so what happened, the big issue too is that first drive, right, coming out of halftime, it was Drake May gets stripped. Yep. But the play right before that was that missed face mask call, which would have hopefully, ideally, changed everything a little bit for the
offense.
It was
one of the worst missed calls I've ever seen in the history of football.
It was as blatant as a face mask gets, and then because of that, they're in a long situation. They have to go to a passing play, and of course, Drake May gets sacked and fumbled. Like, it's just, it was an unfortunate series of events, but I felt like that was a point where you had an opportunity as an offense to drive down the field and have success and really be competitive and, like, really compete with a team that is very good, a Super Bowl contender, and then, you know, misfortune, which I don't think you can allow for today, right? I think today is a kind of game where it's just whoever turns the ball over the least is going to win the football game. It's that simple.
I'd agree. What did you vote in the poll, Trim?
I voted for step forward. I think Drake needs to take
it. Doesn't it kind of sound like he didn't vote in the poll?
No, I'm looking at the poll right here.
You're like,
He's like, I voted for click just right now, step forward. Yeah, that's what
exactly
I did.
That's exactly how it sounded.
I voted for step forward because I felt like Drake needs to take a step forward, but more importantly, the offense with Drake needs to take a step forward. Like, scoring-wise for me, you need to score more than you scored last week, especially against a horrible defense. You need to be competitive and score more than 26 points in this game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I also said step forward, and then I looked at some of the other rookie quarterbacks in their second games this year, and it's not a pretty picture. Caleb Williams against Houston, which would keep the opponents in mind, of course. Against Houston, he had 23 of 37, 174 yards, no touchdowns, a pair of interceptions. Bo Nix, after a two-interception first game against Pittsburgh, went 20 of 35 for 246, no touchdowns, two picks in a 13-6 loss. And then there's Jaden Daniels, who was better against the New York York Giants, 23 of 29 for 226 yards. Didn't punt in that game. No touchdowns, no picks, and had some rushing yards as well. So it's not a clean sweep across the board or anything.
But even for those two guys, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels in particular, they both took steps forward compared to week one.
Agreed. I agree with that, yeah.
And so that's what you need from Drake May this week.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that's reasonable to expect, even with the long trip, even with a potential knee problem or whatever. He was full participant, so he didn't miss any reps in practice this
week. I'm not looking at the knee thing.
I'm not either.
I don't either.
The only thing I'm worried about is the turf. You know, like, he's out there, they're going to be on turf. I feel like guys banged it. Something happens on these foreign games all the time.
But okay, not
there's some sort of weird
London
turf
game.
Injury.
Isn't it's, Wembley, though, I mean, you think about how they treat all the
yeah, isn't it all
football,
grass?
The soccer players, they're obsessed with the pitch's grass.
Yeah, they refuse to play in a lot of United States stadiums because it's only, like, field turf here. They want grass. Like, they are all natural grass.
Sure, I'm just saying
guys.
It's different from what they're used to because the Patriots play and practice on turf. So,
sure,
you know,
I also think that it's so well manicured to Megan's point that I don't think that's going to be as much of an issue as like when you go to places like Mexico City and Brazil where it isn't nearly held to the same standard.
Yeah, and you're probably right. It's just another thing to keep in mind here.
Sure.
And I just want to make sure that May goes out there and is feeling okay and that nothing untoward happens. But, yeah, it's a second game. And, again, he didn't get the same sort of baptism by fire in week one that all these other guys got. They're up to week six, seven with their seasons. Many of them, I think all of them have really gotten better. Even Knicks, who didn't do much. I mean, that was a big win for him yesterday. Yes, ma'am.
Can I tell you about this article I just found on Pro Football Network about the Wembley pitch?
Absolutely.
Ooh. This is the groundskeeper who says it's unique, has certain requirements. It involves a specific blend of sun, water, and nutrients and takes 14 weeks off-site to get into perfect shape. Even the fertilizer plan is bespoke to our requirements. So they take the turf and turf I call it, but it's grass that they naturally grow in off-site in huge stretches of almost carpet, and then they bring it in and lay it down so when they have concerts and events there, they can lift it out and take it out and then bring it back in.
I believe it's called Hatco hybrid grass.
Ooh. Whatever it's called. British people are so extra.
Aren't they all about English gardens and things? So
that's
I think that this would be a point of pride.
Garden parties.
Is that an English thing?
Isn't it? Like tea and crumpets at a garden party?
I don't know.
Sounds like an English thing. Yeah, what'd you guys think of that school where they did the practice in the press conference at?
It looked freaking awesome and creepy
super cool.
At the same time.
I thought that school looked like a dump. I'm sorry. Everyone's talking about how great that school
was. But open since 1523.
Winston Churchill
I don't care
went there.
Lord Byron, Winston Churchill, someone. It looks like
Byron,
one swept the place since Churchill went there. I mean, the play that gym, I voted in gyms that were nicer than that. Like, that gym was a dump. I'm sorry. You have a school that's that old and that prestigious, you can't have one single renovation in 400 years or whatever it is. My God.
They're not like ugly Americans like us where all the money goes towards athletic facilities.
Well, to be fair,
I don't think any money went to that athletic facility.
To be fair, if you walked into BC High, it would probably be nicer than that.
You wanted them to have like a rock climbing wall on the side of the pool.
Sure, yeah. The collapsible rims, you know, something like that. I don't know. I was expecting something else when they went in there.
I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah, I did too.
I didn't
know. And they filmed a scene from the first Harry Potter movie there.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Professor Flitwick classroom.
Oh, okay.
Charms class.
Nice.
Inside one of the classrooms in there.
Hell yeah.
I saw photos.
I'm not impressed by British stuff. I love.
Are you not an Anglophile?
Not really, no. The whole point of America is that we told those people to bleep off, isn't it? Isn't that the whole point of what America is? Is that we said, hey, England, we don't want to be like you, and we're going to go over here and start our own country.
Yeah, but we're advanced and more cultured now 200 years later, and London is such a cool international city in a way. It's a melting pot in a way that the United States just isn't. Like, it's just not that it's very different. It's so awesome.
I've never been to London. I don't give a crap about the royal family. Like,
yeah,
that part
do I.
of the Anglophile stuff bothers me. But the rest of it, like the history of it, I do find really interesting.
I love
so
I'm
seeing
a,
stuff like
I'm
that.
I'm a big Shakespeare guy. Love me some Shakespeare.
Really?
Yeah, I went and saw the Globe when I was over there. Did a tour, took a tour of the Globe. I was a big fan of that.
Did you go to Stratford-on-Avon?
Sure did.
All right.
Stratford-upon-Avon.
What's
your
number one Shakespeare?
Richard III.
Oh. Wow, look at that.
Pretty good. Okay.
I like Hamlet.
Okay.
I'm a basic bitch.
Yeah, that's fine.
Go ahead.
No, Lion King, basically just Hamlet in animated form.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
and
all.
And also with lions.
Yeah, that's
instead
kind of a big deal.
Instead of Danish.
I feel like Walt Disney might have plagiarized a little bit, but like nobody cares because it's with lions.
Are these lions Danish?
Nope, definitely not.
If we do see a step back from Drake May, Which, by the way, Drake May sounds like a British guy, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like a British guy's
name?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. If you get a step back from Drake May today, is that something that's going to concern you very much? Or is this just sort of the natural progression of the rookie quarterback, you know, a debut, which was pretty good, not great. I think we all were impressed by it because he had some sort of a semblance of an offense and a passing offense, which this team hasn't had for 5 weeks. But if there's a regression, if there's any sort of, you know, you look at him and think, okay, he doesn't quite look as comfortable. There's things that we're picking apart with his mechanics, things like that. Is that concerning? Are you be worried about that?
So I put it out there just because I think that there's this assumption or maybe just hope that because now his rookie season has started week to week, you'll see this very linear progression of him getting better and better and better. And it would fit this week again because of who he's going up against. But there is all these factors going against him that clearly Vegas is very interested in with him playing his second game in an international spot in a standalone game. And it's a strange schedule and everything, the travel. But I honestly, as I started the show, I think I would look more towards the coaching staff about preparing him adequately for this spot. And I wouldn't look at it and go, like, because it was very good last week, I think whatever he does this week, unless he looks like a complete and total disaster, which I just don't expect from him, I think I'd probably just go, okay, it was a strange trip overseas and on to next week.
Yeah, I think it's how much of a regression is it, right? Because like you said, like, growth is just not linear as much as we want it to be.
Right.
It just isn't. So I would kind of ask, like, what kind of step back is it? Is it he threw three interceptions that are all bozo decisions, terrible throws, very much like the first that first interception he had in the last game? Or is it, you know, tipped ball here, weird pass rush, swats a ball at the line of scrimmage type deal, kind of like that second interception he had in the last game where it's multiple of those, and it's not really mistakes that are necessarily his fault, but just things that go bad, and they lose the game, then, like, I can move on from that. But if he's making terrible decisions and just sailing balls and making bad throws, that's when I would be like, okay, like, what was wrong here? We need to kind of take a step back and look at this again, because this is not great.
I agree. One thing I'd like to see him improve on this week, if we're talking about week-to-week stuff, accuracy, certainly in the short game, I didn't think was great in that first game. Like, he had a couple of nice, long, deep passes, and I think that's probably his bread and butter, but when it comes to this offense and these receivers and everybody, you don't have a bunch of game breakers, you don't have these burners getting down the field, and you don't have an offensive line that can hold up for very long, so you're going to have to be more accurate in the short game. Over time, and at the end of the game, that crosser to Pop Douglas, I thought, was a great example of him. It was a throw that he missed earlier in the game.
Exactly.
He had one to Antonio Gibson that Gibson had to go back for, too.
Yep.
And these are just short, sort of nothing passes to pick up some yards. And it seemed like that got better over the course of the game. I'd like to see him come out a little bit more accurate. I'd like to see him throw more. We do have another little piece of breaking news here. We don't have to hit the sounder, Jacob, but according to Rap Sheet Now, it looks like same thing. Mike Garofolo actually has this. Jerod Mayo telling everybody that Ramondre Stevenson good to go and that he is excited to have him back on the field. So that's another...
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Another element of this right here is Stevenson didn't play last week. The run game was a complete non-factor.
Horrendous.
And I think that sort of took the play-action game out of it, too. And I know that there was a couple of plays that one, he had one long run off of play-action where he pushed Hasty into the linebacker, which was my favorite play of the day.
I think it was for a full 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, too, like, that was the one run that he had that I wish he didn't run. And that's one of the things I'm looking for from him today is a little bit more patience. Because when I went back and was watching the All-22 of that, Hunter Henry I watched it for hours.
All-22 crew.
Had my Drake May jersey on and everything. But Hunter Henry was...
He was wearing a helmet.
Yep, I was wearing that that Illinois helmet that looked like the old-timey helmets that they were wearing yesterday during the college games.
Oh, the leatherheads. Yeah, I saw those.
So Hunter Henry was breaking open on a deep crossing route over the middle of the field, and he was going to be wide open. If Drake had just kept his eyes downfield for another, like, second and a half, he would have saw it, and it would have been like a 25-yard completion. And so I think coming into this game, the one thing I want to see from Drake more than anything is a little bit of patience in the pocket. I know you're mobile. I know you're athletic. If it's a designed run, great, go for it. If it's a bootleg and you need to just get positive yards, that's fine. But just, like, take your time a little bit. Take a deep breath, take a beat, and then try and strike down the field a little bit more.
Can we get a designed run?
I mean, that would be development from last week.
This is me. I'm just looking at Alex Van Pelt. But for Drake himself, I think the two areas where it's very incumbent on him to show some growth over the next couple of games are the timing, which is just going to come with experience in this offense. At times, especially in the first half last week, I thought his timing looked really off. And it because of that, some of his short game, the touch, it looked like the touch wasn't there. The accuracy wasn't there just because it looked janky.
He was out of rhythm. Yeah,
it looked janky. And the other thing was his vision. Like there are some points where even on the Kayshon Boutte touchdown, which was the best ball that we've seen from a Patriots quarterback since Brady left. Even on that, it's interesting because, as you guys said, DeMario Douglas, Pop Douglas, was streaking across the middle of the field for an easy completion wide open there. And it's almost like you wonder, did Drake see Pop Douglas and go, well, I kind of just threw an interception on that ball earlier in the game, and he preferred the Kayshon Boutte deep ball and wanted to just break it open there?
So
or did he even see Pop Douglas?
So the way it looked to me is that he had in his mind, before he even snapped the football, he was going to Boutte. Like, he had already decided. He saw the one-on-one coverage. He's like, this is where I'm going with the football. It doesn't really matter what happens elsewhere.
And he threw him open, too, which was nice. Yeah.
And when he gets the snap, he looks left and tries to make sure to pull the safety away from the play and then immediately attacks to Boutte. So I don't even think I don't think in his mind he ever even thought to look at Pop Douglas. Like, that was all Boutte the whole way before the ball was even snapped.
Yeah, and it was great.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong.
It was
the play
of the season.
But it could have been better.
For the Patriots. No. But I just wonder about his vision, being able to see the entire field and go through his progressions. And again, like timing, that will only come with experience in the game.
Yeah, I thought he did. One of the things I did think he did well was really trying to look off safeties and hold their positions and allow his guys to create that open space. Now, was he as accurate as we would have liked him to be in those situations? Not always. But I felt like, at least going back and watching it, that he was making all the right decisions and the right moves in that kind of chess match.
All right, well, Drake May is going to be throwing to his normal wide receivers, Kendrick Bourne, Kayshon Boutte, who we just mentioned, Pop Douglas, and then there is some question about who's going to be that fourth guy. Jalen Polk had some comments this week that clashed with his coach, Jerod Mayo. Mayo said there was going to be changes coming up here in terms of who's going to be getting playing time. I think a lot of people interpreted that to mean that maybe Polk's going to get some extra bench time here. Maybe we'll see more of Javon Baker, who I know missed a practice with an illness this week. We'll get into all of that. The team around Drake May, including the offensive line, pass catchers, and Ramondre Stevenson in the run game. How's this offense going to look out in England? We'll get to all. Jerod Mayo, ominous words there. Not sure exactly who he's talking about, but if I had to take a wild guess, I'd say Jalen Polk may be a guy who's looking at his snap count a little differently this week. It's a little back and forth between the two of them. Polk with a brutal game in Drake May's debut. Two drops. I think there should have been counted for three, but I think he only got credited for two drops in the game. It didn't make a catch until the very end, and it was a one-yarder, and so much so that even Kevin Harlan was like, oh, yeah, and Jalen Polk finally caught one. And listen, disappointing. Looks like through 7 weeks, another typical Patriots miss at wide receiver, which there's still time for him to change that. But if we're to believe Jerod Mayo, or if we're to read into what Jerod Mayo just said there, that's a guy who I think you may see grab some pine this week, just because Bourne, Douglas, and Boutte seem to have established themselves in the top three. That's a place I thought Polk would be most of the year, just because of where he was drafted. Boutte and Douglas were both six-round picks. Was Kendrick Bourne even drafted? Did he even get drafted? I'm not even sure he did.
I think he did, but I'll check.
Either way, I mean, this is sort of a wide receiver group that shouldn't be a tough one to crack into, especially if you're a high draft pick in a good wide receiver draft like this year. But the Patriots always manage to find the one guy, or, you know, one of several guys who just can't quite do it. And with Jalen Polk, he went out and said, you know what? Mayo said I had some mental hump. I have no mental hump, no mental problems. I have the best hands in the league, and these drops aren't a problem. And it's like, actually, they are a problem. Just like Keon White and the penalties. Like, that's a problem, guys. These young players, it's weird. Like, they're just, yeah, I can just do whatever I want. There's not going to ever be any consequences. No, there will be, and you might see it this week.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that there's some consequences there, but I'm not convinced that there will be. I mean, we saw it with Ramondre, right? He fumbles, just putting the ball in the turf constantly, sits out a series, comes back, scores a touchdown on the next series. Like, I think, again, it's just like, yeah, you're not going to start today, but you'll play in the second drive.
Right.
And that's the way Mayo does it, and I don't know if I necessarily love it or if it works. I mean, I guess it kind of worked in the case of Ramondre, but I guess that's still to be seen, too. We still have a large large portion of the season left to play where he could absolutely fumble it plenty more times along the way. So I don't know if it works or not, but I wouldn't expect a very serious punishment. I don't expect like Jalen Polk to be inactive today.
I like Jalen Polk. I think that by the end of the season, we'll see him as hopefully a little bit more of like a Jacoby Myers type guy.
I hope
like so. A possession receiver. That's who he's supposed to be. But look, two things with him. One, when you're having drops, you can't say you have the best hands in the league, which is what he told Mark Daniels from Mass Live. Like, you just, that now's not the time, buddy. Like, there's a little self-awareness. And the other moment in this season that sticks out to me is when his touchdown was called back in
the Miami game.
Was that even at the very end of the Miami game? And when his team was huddling up, he's at the middle of the field, like trying to get the crowd all worked up. And it's just a little bit of a lack of self-awareness that shows, I think, some immaturity with him in his game day execution and just like lack of self-awareness. And I think that's kind of an issue on this team overall.
Yeah, I'd agree. And it seemed like during the preseason in particular, and even during camp and things like that, practices, joint practices, that May, Polk, and Baker were kind of a team, you know, like those three, the rookies, they worked out all summer. Like they were, it seemed like in the games when May was playing, he was looking for those guys. It seemed like that was part of, and maybe it just was who was getting reps with who and that type of thing in the early going, but it seemed like there was something there. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not feeling great. I think everybody's kind of down on Polk right now, and we'll see how much he plays. And maybe it'll be like you said, Mago, you know, he doesn't start, but then they bring him out, or as Shime said, and then, you know, hopefully he can get going a little bit. I hope there was some kind of wake-up call for him at the very least, but based on his comments, I'm not sure.
I hope so, but all I ask, for the love of God, if you're gonna punish Jalen Polk, please don't give me more KJ Osborne. I don't need it. Give me Javon Baker. Give me, give me the corpse of Tyquan Thornton.
Oh,
give me any of that. Please.
Are you taking Tyquan Thornton over KJ Osborne?
Yes, yes.
I'm don't, not going to go do that not far.
Did Thornton KJ even make the trip? Is he even there?
I don't know. I think so. Everybody but Zadarius Lowe made
the trip. Like, I don't care. Fly him over
the
morning.
Yeah, fly him over today. I don't set him on the red eye. I don't know. I just don't put KJ Osborne on the field, please.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you here on the phone lines if you'd like to chime in on anything you're expecting to see in this game in jolly old London town in about 2 hours now, a little less than that, as the Patriots kick off with the Jaguars. Let's go ahead and start things off with Brandon, who is in Pennsylvania. Hi, Brandon.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
So I had a question and a point, but you answered the question during your break because I have Ramondre Stevenson on my fantasy, and I want to know if I had to play him or not. So, anyway.
Answer that. He is going to play, but do you guys think he should play him? He should play Stevenson today?
Yeah, play Stevenson on your fantasy teams. That's a good idea.
Okay. All right, well, there you go. The expert has chimed in. What else you got, Brandon?
So the point I was going to make was to expand a little bit with Mego. She was saying about the bigger deal is the coaching staff being sort of under the microscope for this particular game because it's on paper a winnable game. I think Van Pelt is even more so under the microscope. And I know that it was talked about during the week on EEI, but knowing what May showed a little bit in the last game, and if Stevenson does play where he's got the, you know, for the most part, all the pieces to the puzzle, so to speak. You know, if he comes out and it's flat and just doesn't do anything, I think it's, for me, it'd be more on Van Pelt than it would be on May, because May's just inexperienced at this point doing it. But I wanted to see what you guys thought. Thanks.
All right, thanks for the call, Brandon. Alex Van Pelt, I think this is going to be, I don't know if it's going to be a referendum on him today, but again, this is a very soft defense you're going up against. This is a team that's kind of in turmoil, and you did have some things going last week with May from Alex Van Pelt's perspective. It's not like nothing worked, and you didn't have your running back. You didn't really have your running game at all. May did make some rookie mistakes that he's going to make, but I thought, all in all, I didn't have a huge problem with the game plan last week against Houston. I thought it was about as good as
it could
have
been. I thought it was an awful way to start.
Not a great start.
Running right into the line two plays in a row and then forcing your quarterback to throw on third and long in a play that had no shot right off the rip. Not the best way to start.
I agree, and it didn't work out, but if Antonio Gibson or Hasty or somebody had picked up 4 or 5 yards, then you wouldn't be saying that.
Sure.
You didn't really have your running game out there, and I think that if they start off that way again with Stevenson and he picks up some yards and it's 3rd and 2 instead of 3rd and 12, then, you know, we're having a different conversation. So I think that could work out better today.
I just feel like he never did a very good job of a establishing, as Mego pointed out at the beginning, a good rhythm for Drake. And I think that's why he threw that interception so quickly. Like, give him a couple easy throws. You incorporated them later in the game, which I liked. Those quick outs from shotgun to Hunter Henry or Pop Douglas, I think are great. Just quick, easy routes that aren't going to get jumped by corners, aren't in press coverage. Like, find those easy spots, take them, get the chain, move the chains a little bit, and then it's like, okay, now we can start pushing forward our normal offense. But get your guy in a rhythm. It's a rookie quarterback making his now only second career start against a bad defense. Put him in a rhythm early and get him ready to go. Like, that's what you should do as an offensive play caller. And I feel like Alex Van Pelt bangs his head against the wall and just like, nope, we run the football.
Well, that's the style that he wants to go with. And I think having Ramondre Stevenson out there, they're going to continue to lean on it as long as he's healthy, because that's a running back who can actually break tackles and gain yards for you, even though your rush, the offensive line in the running game last week was so miserable.
Yeah, it was good when you had Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. That's fine. But now you have like an actual quarterback.
And that's why it's the test for Alex Van Pelt. And because previously you'd watch this offense and you go, well, Jacoby doesn't even take a shot. Jacoby's so conservative. Jacoby will take the sack rather than make a mistake. That's not Drake May. And so now, as we've said at the very beginning of the season, once you start Drake May, the clock is ticking for the entire coaching staff and the front office, except for Gerard Mayo, who probably has a couple seasons with Kraft to figure it out. But now it's go time. Like, now you actually have to show the playbook that you talked about that you wanted to open up after week one when you went against the Bengals and you said you left some plays that off your sheet. Well, put them back on there. And for the love of God, like, a designed run, Shine.
Please. Like, Mega, you're speaking to my soul here. Trust me.
This is the stuff that
just
Drake loves. That's what he loves. Give him the confidence.
And so they never really got into the red zone very much in that last game, right? The two of the three touchdowns were from pretty far out. Even the Hunter Henry touchdown was from pretty far out.
Yeah.
I want to see them inside the 10-yard line, because I think that's where the design runs especially come into play. We saw it in the preseason. He loves that read option keeper. Mm-hmm. Give him that play. Give him that opportunity.
Makes him feel swaggy. He does that little, flip with the football.
Look at the flick of the wrist, huh? Yeah, like, does that as he jumps into the end zone. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, too. I thought we were going to see more of that in week one, but you're right. They weren't in the red zone that often. Maybe we'll see it here in England. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to have inactives for you in about 5 minutes. Also in about 5 minutes, we'll be joined by Nick Fitzy-Stevens. We'll get his take on this matchup here, as he, I believe, is in Foxborough for an event with the season ticket holders there, watch party type thing. We'll get more information on that and what Fitzy's take on this game is, Drake May, and everything else that happened over the course of the week. That's all coming up right after this.